I believe that God may very well hear that prayer and forgive our sins and heal our nation.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
18 years after 9/11, does our nation have a better understanding of radical Islam? The evidence suggests it does not.
Once you start terrorizing, people are going to cave in simply out of fear.
Because of political correctness, Islam has been soft-pedaled in America.
They don't like America, they want to change America.
What are the dangers and what can we do? Find out today on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Just a few weeks ago, we marked the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America. The media predicted a fierce wave of Islamophobia and violence against Muslims in the wake of the attacks, which of course never materialized. In fact, one might argue that Americans are still largely in the dark about Islam. On today's program, we will look back at the heroism displayed by the victims in the 9/11 attacks. You'll meet a Christian pastor who grew up in an Islamic country and has a warning for America. And we will share some key resources with you that shine the light of truth in the fog of lies surrounding these issues. As we begin, I'm sure you've heard about some of the controversy surrounding the four radical freshman congresswomen, sometimes called the Squad. Although the avowed socialist, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, may be the best known of these four, lately we are hearing more about the Somali-born U.S. Representative from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, a dedicated Muslim who more and more sounds like the mouthpiece of radical Islam. To say that her views are out of the mainstream is an epic understatement. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look.
I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. I am as American as everyone else is.
Somalia-born Ilhan Omar, who represents the Minneapolis area in the U.S. House of Representatives, is one of the first two Muslim women ever elected to Congress. The other is Rashida Tlaib of Detroit.
I am so excited. I gotta do the...
Yeah!
Regarding Rashida Tlaib's political activism, there's a pretty good record of it that can be found on YouTube of her uncivil, almost violent behavior. She is very outspoken. She is raw. She cusses in such a way that is unbecoming to a congressperson in the United States. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are equally outspoken, and when it comes to Islamic policy, they are leading the charge for cultural jihad in America.
You guys are crazy!
You're an animal!
It's interesting, in a country that is ruled by Sharia law, the behavior of someone like Rashida Tlaib would be greatly constrained. In recent months, these two Muslim congresswomen were invited to travel to Israel by a radical Muslim group to speak against Israel. But Israel wouldn't let them come in.
Israel was correct in not letting her in because her goal was not to bring peace. Her goal was to advance the eradication of Israel. And no country should be allowed to bring in those who want to destroy it.
Well, for people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, everything is politics. It's all politics, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are opposed to Israel, they support BDS, and they would use that platform to undermine Israel.
BDS is an explicitly anti-Israel movement. It stands for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And the BDS movement is supported wholeheartedly by Omar and Tlaib.
Israel is surrounded by radical Islamic countries on many of its sides. So weakening Israel through the BDS movement is really an outrageous act.
Furthermore, both Muslim congresswomen are on record in opposing ICE and arguably in opposing secure borders for the U.S.
Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib, they don't like America, they want to change America. And you have to understand that that is inherent in fundamentalist Islam, where they have a superior view that their goal is to ultimately come into countries and change them so that the Islamic views are superior.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
She was obfuscating the fact that it was radical Islam that pulled that mass terrorist event off.
On that day, 19 Islamic terrorist members of Al-Qaeda killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars of economic damage. Is that clear?
In the early days, Islam spread by the sword. But as time has passed, the Islamic authorities have recognized that they probably can be more successful through cultural jihad, that is, transforming the democratic nations of Europe and the United States through a long process to soften up our countries, take power as Omar and Tlaib have done, and from that platform continue the process of weakening the United States.
Can it be that only 18 years after the brutal attacks on 9/11 that people have forgotten the horror of those dark days? Well, I haven't forgotten, but apparently some are suffering from political amnesia. How else to explain how a sitting congresswoman could mendaciously characterize that day by saying, quote, some people did some things? Dr. D. James Kennedy knew exactly what motivated those attacks, and I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad thought it important that we not forget the motivation behind those attacks.
That's right. And, you know, I remember talking to him about those attacks, and even back then, he talked how some people were already trying to spin it. My father was not only a Christian pastor and theologian, he was also a scholar who earned a PhD in world religions from New York University. He was heartsick over the attacks, but he reminded me how absurd it is for some to say all religions are the same or that all cultures are the same. That idea is parroted by many elites today, but it's simply false. It's hard to believe that over 18 years have come and gone since 9/11. But what we must never do is to forget what happened that day and why. And we must also never forget the Christian heroes who acted that day in response to Islamic terrorists. Here's a portion of my dad's message delivered on the one-year anniversary of the attacks. America remembers.
He said, rather quietly into his cell phone, I think this plane has been hijacked. In fact, I'm certain, because there are two uniformed men lying motionless outside the cockpit door. The voice, of course, was that of Todd Beamer. His words have become well known. He was a dedicated young Christian man from Wheaton College, a man who loved Christ, loved his wife and children, a man who sought to serve him, a man who now was facing the greatest trial of his life. He said to the operator who was on the phone, "Some of us have been talking about trying to do something about it. For the first time in the history of American aviation, they knew that this was not going to involve a couple of hours on the tarmac in Havana and then a return safely to your home, which every other hijacking had ended up in. But they, having taken off late, had been able to hear about the other two planes that had crashed into the World Trade Centers. And they knew that this was a matter of life and death. They were most certainly going to die if they did nothing. They might die even if they attempted something." And then, having asked the operator that he was talking to pray with him the Lord's Prayer, about which I have heard no complaints from the ACLU as of yet, he uttered those famous words, which are the title of the book his wife Lisa has written, "Let's Roll." And so we don't know how many, three, five, seven, or more, they stood up, these men, and approached the terrorists who had sharpened box openers in their hands. A struggle ensued. His final words were, "Jesus, help me." The plane turned upside down, of course, throwing those that were approaching the pilots up and to the top of the plane upside down. The plane then turned straight down. It created a 5-story hole in the ground. All were killed, but the Capitol or the White House were spared. And that is an event that will long be held in the hearts and minds of American people. America remembers. Have we indeed remembered 9/11 and the chastening of God and sought to reform our ways? I don't know about you, but when anything happens bad in my life, whether it would be to the church or to my family or to myself or to this nation, the first thing that I do, and I hope you do too, is on your knees in prayer, ask God, "Lord, is there something in my life that is causing me and others to be chastened?" By the way, the chastening of God often includes others who had nothing to do with the sin. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to determine that through the rest of this year, you are going to daily pray for the church and for the nation, that God will cleanse us all, forgive our sins, cause us to repent and turn and follow Him, that there may be a great awakening and a great revival in this nation. If we will do that each day, I believe that God may very well hear that prayer and forgive our sins and heal our nation. Will you do that? Commit yourself to pray each day for the church and for the nation.
Undoubtedly, you remember that day in September 2001 just as clearly as I do. And while the shock of the attacks has receded for many, the dangerous ideology that spawned them has not. Yet Americans are often fed falsehoods about the true nature of radical Islam. One man who is under no such illusions is Dr. Michael Youssef, founder and president of Leading the Way. Born in Egypt, he experienced firsthand the difficulties encountered by Christians in a Muslim country. Our own John Rabe recently sat down to talk with Dr. Youssef.
What do Americans need to know about the Islamist threat that perhaps they're just not getting?
Well, the death threat is beyond real. I personally believe Europe is finished. There is no way Europe can come back. When you have a Muslim population in France, for example, that is producing 4.5 children per family, and then the French citizens are below zero in producing children, it's a matter of time. And they tell us this. It's just a matter of time, we're going to take over. And the same can go for Belgium and for all the other European countries. So I don't see any hope other than God intervention, of course. That would be the one thing that we long for. But I'm hoping that we will look at Europe and realize that this could happen here, regardless of how large a piece of real estate we have in America or have large population. Because once you start terrorizing, people are going to cave in simply out of fear. I'll give you an example. The outgoing leader, head of the BBC, was asked a question. And, you know, why do you constantly beat on Christians, but you, when you see Muslims and terrorism, you gloss over it? He said, it's no-brainer. If Christians have broad shoulders, they can take it. But if we do that with Muslims, they're going to show up on Oxford Street with grenades and guns and weapons. And so fear, once it settles in the heart of a nation, a handful of people can terrorize a large country like ours. So we, as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, must wake up and must realize the danger and that we desperately need either a new reformation or renew the reformation call to return back to God. Let me tell you something. I was not born in the West, but I know historically, I've spent many years at Emory University doing a doctorate, historically, that it is the Reformation that brought Europe out of the Dark Ages. It was the Reformation that created Western civilization as we know it today, whether it be education or the hospital movement or the library movement, and the list goes on. It was Western civilization, but that was formed as a result of the Reformation. All of that, when the Reformation theology of belief in the Word of God and the biblical principles upon which a country like the United States was founded, when that foundation starts crumbling, the whole building is going to fall apart.
What is your insight? What do you think this country needs to be looking at as far as immigration
sure.
goes?
I wrote a major op-ed for the Daily Caller, and I delineate how America has always welcomed immigrants, but you have to come through the front door. And when I came as an immigrant many, many, many years ago, I had to provide, even though I really was not working because I was young, tax that I don't owe the country of my origin any taxes, and that I had to go through medical physical examination, not by my doctor, but the embassy doctor, and I had to provide a police report that I don't have any criminal records. All of these things they cannot do if you just bring floods of people here. And ISIS made it very, very clear that they are sending thousands upon thousands of their foot soldiers among the refugees. I'm told that there are so many sleeper cells in the United States. The FBI kept up with them for a while, but they went beyond the numbers they thought they have.
Is it illegitimate for the United States to impose an ideological test?
Absolutely not. Just find any other country. I mean, there's no country in the world that would not protect its borders. This is insanity. It's madness. Either people, I have to believe, they hate America and want to destroy America, or have other motives, which it can only be evil, because the scripture is very clear in Romans 13. It says that the government is to protect the citizenry. They're not to get involved in, it doesn't talk about anything else, education or that or that or the other thing. It's to protect the citizens. That's the number one job, is to protect the citizens of the country. And unfortunately, those people who claim to believe the Bible in leadership, they're not obeying that part of the Bible.
As a pastor and a Christian who grew up in a Muslim nation, Michael Youssef knows the face of radical Islam better than most. In America, where we now have a polarizing immigration debate, it's never been more important to know the facts. America has been a beacon of freedom for the world. But what consideration must we give to our national security in our immigration policy? For years now, American officials have been painting a picture of Islam that is often at odds with the reality. We've been told that Islam is a religion of peace, but the history and even current experience tells us differently. Certainly, there are millions of peace-loving Muslim people. But what is a nation to do when the official tenets of a religion call for political domination, strict Sharia law, and political takeover through immigration? Misunderstanding radical Islam presents a national security danger to America. That's why we want to help you separate the facts from the fiction. We've produced a Truth in Action Q&A booklet called What Does the Bible Teach About Islam? And we would like to send you a 5-pack of this important booklet as our thanks for your generous donation to help us continue standing for truth and defending your freedom. You can keep a copy for yourself and give others to your friends, family, and even your pastor. This booklet succinctly lays out the facts on the key differences between Islam and Christianity and how Christ offers hope that Islam cannot. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will also include the outstanding book from Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. This is one of the very best references on Islam that you will find. And it tells you the truth that many in the mainstream media and our own government go out of their way to avoid and even obscure. What did Muhammad really teach? Is there a cover-up happening in America regarding Islamic doctrine and history? What were the Crusades really about? And why aren't we taught the truth? The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades answers all of these questions and many more, equipping you to know the truth in the face of media lies. We will send it to you along with a 5-pack of the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Islam, as our thanks for your generous donation of $40 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Talking heads on both sides of the political aisle have long promoted, almost as an article of faith, the idea that Islam is no better or worse for America than any other religion. But do the facts back up that claim? In America, where Christianity was the dominant religion at the time of the settling and the founding of the nation, religious freedom has been an ironclad principle written into our Constitution. A representative form of government was established that recognized God-given rights. Now, to be sure, many Muslims who live in America have embraced this system. But while some radicals call it bigotry or intolerance to even inquire into these matters, we must take a clear-eyed look at the reality of life in largely Islamic societies. First, we should note that there is not a single Muslim-majority nation in the world with significant religious freedom. Furthermore, to one degree or another, every Muslim-majority nation in the world employs Islamic Sharia law in the administration of its laws. Sharia law, among other things, allows a husband to beat a disobedient wife and allows anyone leaving Islam to be stoned to death. But we are told it's absurd to wonder if there's any threat posed by hardcore Islam in America. Well, then, look at what happened when a state senator in Delaware introduced a bill preventing foreign law from being used in local courts. This should be a simple and non-controversial idea. An American court should be governed by American laws. Yet his bill was assailed by the Council on Islamic American Relations. Why would America's largest Islamic advocacy group protest a bill keeping Sharia law out of American courts? This is not merely an academic question. A few years ago, a judge in New Jersey refused to grant a restraining order for a Muslim wife who said she was raped and beaten by her husband. The judge's reasoning? Because, he said, this was allowed under the Sharia law of their faith. If American ideals, laws, and institutions are to survive, we must put aside political correctness and pursue the truth about Islam wherever it leads. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We're facing a foe the like of which we've never faced before. We're facing Islam.
The peace that Islam envisions is the peace that will come when the whole world is ruled by Islamic law, and Muslims have the obligation to wage war against non-Muslims until that time.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.